Welcome to the Connection Point Podcast through the ministry of First Southern Baptist Church, Salina, Kansas, where we aim to connect you to God, to others, and to the church. Good afternoon, listeners. It is your host, Tyler Ball, and co-host, Bodie McBothface.
Nobody voted on that, so that is not the official name yet. I don't think we actually got any votes for yet, so.
No votes yet. If you're wondering, like, what in the world that just was, you need to listen to our episode before, but we're trying to find a good nickname for Dr. Irvin, and he used an example with the boat, the British boat.
Yeah, I said it was dangerous opening it up to people picking for you.
It is dangerous.
Because that's what happened when the British did that with a ship for their Navy. They let the internet decide what they were going to name it. And now the ship is named Bodie McBoatface.
Bodie McBoatface. So, like, if you look at the back of the ship, it's got printed on there the name, Bodie McBoatface?
I think so, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you can go and Google it.
Tell you what.
You can read all about Bodie McBoatface.
After we make millions of dollars off this podcast, because it's, you know, so huge, we'll get a boat and we'll name it Bodie McBoatface.
Exactly. That'll be our fancy yacht when we're living our best life now.
And we will do our podcast from that yacht, right?
Yes.
It is good to be with you guys. Here we are, December, what's today, 13th, 14th? It's the 14th, right?
I think you're right. Yes, December 14th.
And it's like 60 degrees outside.
Yeah.
It's nice weather.
Yeah.
This is what we call golfing weather. But I'd much rather be doing a podcast with you than golfing, if that makes you feel good.
I would as well.
Makes me less mad.
Yes, I have a great time doing this with you.
Oh, God, yes. It is good to see you guys.
I'm less likely to injure somebody this way, too.
So. You really? Could you throw clubs, right?
No, and I don't throw clubs, but...
Your ball kind of goes off to the...
Four. I don't get a lot of power or a lot of control of my power, so...
But you have power. If you ever watch this guy hit off the tee box, you launch those balls now. You never know where they're going to go, but man, you launch them.
Yeah, so I can be real impressive as long as you don't actually expect me to play a good game of golf. You
know? Or aim anywhere particular, right?
Yeah, if you want to let me walk up and hit a few balls at the driving range, you'd be like, ooh. But if you watch me trying to hit it onto the green from 10 feet away,
10 feet.
Then you're gonna crack up as I hit it over the green four times before
I
hit
it. Yeah, I get you. Yeah, golf's not important. Let's stick to podcasting.
All right, at least for today.
At least for today, yeah. And then we'll try golfing some. Guys, it is good. I just said earlier it's good to see you. We can't see you, but we hope that you're doing well, and we're very glad that you're following us and listening. We come to another good day today. Remember, we've been covering a lot of terms, whether they be theological, or otherwise. Kind of our catch has been words ending in ION, and we have a real appropriate word today, especially for what's going on in the news. So we bring you, drum roll, I don't know if they can hear this. There we go, yeah, there's the drum roll. The word today is abortion.
Abortion. You've probably, I would be surprised if people haven't noticed that it's maybe been in the news a lot more often, because the Supreme Court is actually hearing arguments against a case for a law in, and I meant to look this up before, I believe it's Alabama.
One of the states.
There is one in Texas that they're hearing as well, but probably the one where there is interest that it may overturn Roe v. Wade, I believe, is coming from Alabama.
Roe v. Wade. And can you expand just a little bit on Roe versus Wade for someone who, you don't have to give us all the details, but the ruling in Roe versus Wade, just so people are caught up a little bit.
Yes, if we have any lawyers listening, this is not going to be a exhaustive and finely detailed.
Just a quick recap,
This is going to be painting with a very broad brush on this. Yep. But essentially, Roe versus Wade is the name for a court case, which was, I think it was back in, I want to say 1972.
Somewhere around there. I'd have to go back to my ethic notes.
Yes. And basically the Supreme Court of the United States decided that there was a right to abortion in the Constitution of the United States. Now, if you read the decision for it, they don't point to anything specifically in the Constitution because it's not there. Mm-hmm. They will go to they go first to the right to privacy, which is what they say, which is also not technically in the in the Bill of Rights or mm-hmm. the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And they say because of that, you also essentially have a right to have an abortion while in the United States as well.
Mm-hmm. And limited to the first two trimesters?
So that they do not have that limit in the court case, is my understanding.
Yeah.
The court case does not put any limits on how long you can do it. Mm-hmm. All the court case says is that states cannot keep people from doing abortion.
Okay.
And I think it's really interesting to realize, I don't think a lot of people realize this, you may have heard some of the senators or Congress people talking about where if I'm elected or I'm going to push to codify Roe into law. Mm-hmm. Because Roe versus Wade is not actually a law. It's not something that's ever been voted on. It's not something that's passed. This was something that the Supreme Court said, this is in the Constitution. And I believe the phrasing they used for it was, again, broad paraphrasing here. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not explicitly stated out there. It was something along the lines of an utterance from penumbras, mm-hmm. Which basically means, well, it's assumed here, and so then we can assume here. and it's a third, three steps removed, but it's is where it comes there.
A lot of assumptions, yes.
Yeah, and that's one thing a lot of people don't realize is that Roe versus Wade is not a law; it's mm-hmm. a court case. In order to have something be a law, you have to have it passed by Congress, which it never has.
Sure.
The other thing a lot of people don't realize about Roe versus Wade, it's had such a target on its back for people that are pro-life. That think that abortion is something terrible is that if you wipe Roe versus Wade off the map, if the Supreme Court does end up overturning it, a lot of people think, abortion will be gone then, it'll be illegal. Mm-hmm. And that's not what'll happen.
Right.
What happens is it gets bounced back to the states. Mm-hmm. So you'll certainly have less. Places like Texas and Alabama will not have it anymore. Mm-hmm. But you will still have states like California or New York that might even ramp up a little bit afterwards.
Yep.
And so that's something to keep in mind that I think a lot of times you can get too focused in, you get too focused in on the trees to miss the forest.
Sure. Okay, thanks for setting the stage, Brad.
Yeah.
One thing we do want to talk about a little bit is, though we have a very firm stance of we are pro-life, anti-abortion, we know this isn't easy. We need to have compassion.
Yeah, that is something you all, it's good to always start off with saying that there are two people involved in this. Mm-hmm. You should not disregard a mother's circumstance. The mother, it is very possible and likely that the mother in this case would be somebody that would need help and support, financial or otherwise.
Sure.
That is an area that the church should be willing to step in.
Absolutely.
Adoption.
That
should be something that should be pushed and encouraged from the Christian perspective.
Absolutely.
We will, if you do this, we will help you find somewhere that this baby will have a good life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's sort of my personal opinions there, I guess, that you are going to have a much more effective ministry and people are going to hear you better if you are talking with them that you do care about their mm-hmm. well-being mm-hmm. And that you are not trying to use them as a political point system.
Sure, absolutely.
This is a difficult topic to talk about.
It is.
It would be easy to do that.
We get fired up pretty easy.
Yeah. I am generally very good at keeping my cool. Mm-hmm. This is one where if I'm talking with somebody, I can lose my cool pretty easy talking about this.
God bless my wife. If you know her, she's really sweet and gentle. But you get talking about abortion, she gets pretty fired up. And a couple other things to add to that. There's forgiveness too. So if we have any listeners here who may have elected to have an abortion, there's forgiveness for that. You know, God forgives and there's healing. And as a church, we want to be a beacon of light to those who are struggling with that, who have hard choices to make. And you mentioned it earlier, the world is giving them a bad choice to make,
yeah.
You know, an easy bad choice to make almost. And so as a church, our hearts go out to anybody struggling with this.
Absolutely. And you know, we're gonna probably use some fairly blunt language,
right.
Moving forward here, I would say.
Yeah.
And so that's where I want to start by saying that, you know, if you are somebody that has had an abortion before and yep. you're having a tough time or that you're struggling with it now, you know, we do love you.
Yep, absolutely.
And our church would love to help you, and by all means get in contact with us, and we will either provide it or provide the help you need or get set up with the help you need.
Well, 100%. And actually, after every podcast, there's a little outro that we do. It's got our website and phone number. That is specifically for you listeners when you need to call and reach out, that we're here for you. We don't want to just be here giving you information and speaking different words. We want to help and encourage and do all that. Coming from my family, I almost all of our kids we're all adopted. So my twin brother and I are adopted by my father. I have four adopted sisters, and it's just been a beautiful place thing to see how they were born into places with not a lot of opportunity, and the words were cut out for them, and we adopted them, and they've had opportunities to thrive and live a good life. And a matter of fact, my sister Salam graduates in May as a dentist. You know, it's just absolutely incredible to see. So adoption has a special place in my heart as well.
Yeah.
It's a good option.
And yeah, I think that the parents that do adopt should have special places of honor and mm-hmm. And special encouragement. Yeah. That is a wonderful thing that they are doing.
Yes, absolutely. So from here on out, as we speak, know we love you. And we're though we might have to get fired up a little bit, we're wanting to speak the truth in love. And if you have questions or we don't address everything, which we can't. Again, we say it every week. We're on the basic plan. So
yeah,
that means we get 90 minutes.
We tried planning this. I didn't feel like it was as bad this week as it was last
that
week.
That one was tough. Last week.
Last week, our board like made us look like a crazy person because there was completely filled up. I'm impressed that we finished it up as a little time as we did.
We did, yep.
I feel like we've got a little bit better organization structure, but this is not going to be all-encompassing.
Right.
What we're hoping to do today is to give you at least a brief understanding of what the biblical stance mm-hmm. should be on this.
Yes.
And how to respond to arguments and things that you're going to hear, because I would suspect that a lot of our listeners, this would be a issue very dear to their hearts, that they are going to be out in the world working to change.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this will be a program that gives them some tools that will better help them to answer some of the objections that would be thrown at them.
Absolutely. And we're going to preface this all too. We come with a biblical stance because we believe in the Bible. We believe in its inerrancy.
Yes.
We believe in its sufficiency. We believe that what it says is true. We believe that we are called to wholly obey everything in the Word. And there's no way around that.
Yes.
What God commands, we yes. must obey.
And I will probably get to this a little bit later mm-hmm. on. I don't know. I'll have to ask you if you would. So the way I would say it is that everyone is called to that. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in
sure,
God.
Sure, yeah, I'm right with you.
You are still going to be held to that standard.
This is the accountability. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. Not believing in this does not excuse accountability.
Yes.
For sure. So we do want to let you know that. So when we bring your biblical stance, we are coming from the ultimate source of truth, which is God. He is
yes.
our morality and truth. It's not relative, folks. It's not up for interpretation. God being perfect is the author of morality and truth. And so what he says, we obey. Right, Brad?
Yes.
So
we should do a program on that on some point.
That'd be great.
The relativism when it comes to morality.
It's incredible.
Because that's... that one would be probably, it would be helpful for something like this because
yeah.
you're going to get a lot of that.
Absolutely. Yep. So that means more to come after these podcasts.
Yeah.
So stay with us.
Yeah. So if you want to be really good, you're going to have to keep listening, guys.
Keep listening. we're going to tackle all this. So, all right. So let's start with the biblical stance.
Yeah.
Pro-life anti-abortion, there are many passages that we can go to. If anybody uses the argument that the Bible whispers about abortion, there's several topics out there where some say the Bible whispers. I don't think the Bible whispers, by the way. It penetrates hearts and divides bone and marrow. I mean, there's no whispering there. But
yes, there are some particular things, and I would put abortion in this camp where there definitely does not whisper.
No whispers. This is, clear. So before we did this, just for the sake of time, we're going through all the verses, and we can't include all the verses because we just got so much to do.
Hitters. I think I put a third of the verses down, okay. And that was from a very cursory review of ones that I thought would be helpful.
Sure. And we pray they're helpful for you because they are what we base our lives. And we'll talk about this later. Even our ethical systems and our worldview, we based on these verses. So,
yeah.
We will get there. So biblical stance is that God is the sole arbiter of life.
Yes. God creates life.
Yep.
He is the only one that has the right to decide what happens to it. God is the only one that decides how and when a life can be taken. And if you are going to be taking a life, you have to go to the Bible for the justification of where you will be doing that. So there are instances where the Bible gives, I would say, the government, for example, the right and ability to take a life away.
Sure.
You have to be careful with this, and this will be another good podcast to talk about.
A lot of debate on this.
On how you use the Old Testament laws, your Leviticus and Numbers. I think you are wrong if you say, oh, well, those don't apply to us anymore there.
Sure.
I would say that those are split into three different categories. You have the ceremonial laws, which have been completely filled.
Ceremonial laws.
Yes. We don't do animal sacrifices anymore.
Right, yeah, we don't.
Because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, like we talked about last
week.
Praise
God, yeah.
On one end, you have the laws that absolutely apply to us.
Sure.
Thou shalt not murder is the one we're going to talk about here
That's
today.
That's the case for pro-life, absolutely.
Yes, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Carry on, absolutely.
Yes. Tyler says that that's the one issue that his wife would get fired up about is abortion. I think that if he went to her and said, well, it's okay to commit adultery because that's in the Old Testament, I have a feeling she might get a little fired up
about that,
too.
She's not going to like that.
Nope. So, and you know what? I'd be right there with her.
Right.
So I would dogpile on top of you right along with her.
Yeah. You're missing it, man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So those absolutely apply across the time of Old Testament.
Then in the middle, you have what I would call the civic laws, which are laws that don't, we wouldn't necessarily put into play word for word, but that they do the meaning and the idea behind them tells us who God is and what His law is, and we would apply it. So a good example is there's an example that one of the laws talks about you should always have a fence around your roof. That does not mean that we as Christians now would be sinning if we didn't have a fence around our roof.
I don't have one around my roof.
Yeah, I don't either. but if you look into why this was, people used to hang out on the roofs.
They did.
In ancient Israel. It was, think about, like a patio kind of. If you're having probably didn't do barbecues. What do you call an ancient Hebrew barbecue?
I don't know, man. I'm not sure.
A barbecue?
That's what we're going with, yes.
Yes, so that was my great Hebrew.
They didn't have grills back then.
Yeah.
It's probably a fire they make themselves.
Yeah, I feel like they probably didn't start a lot of fires on top of the houses. That doesn't seem very
good point.
Wise.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You got me there.
Anyways.
Rabbit trail.
Yeah. But if you have a bunch of people on top of your roof, pretty easy for you to fall off.
Fall off, right?
And so having these... The idea behind this law is you need to be providing adequate protection on your property to not be putting people in danger.
Sure.
And so why you might not, we wouldn't say, oh, you have to have a fence around your roof or you're sinning. We could look at swimming pools. that a swimming pool is something that could be dangerous if you have people that have small kids coming over, mm-hmm. Or you have neighbor kids that are around. And so failing to adequately protect your swimming pool
could very well be.
Yep.
And so that's just an example of something where you would look to the idea and the truth sure. behind the law with maybe not the exact letter of the law.
Sure. But again, that's again to show the value of life. I mean, someone falls off the roof, a valuable life has fallen off the roof.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
If someone falls off the roof, it's a loss. And why is it a loss? It's because they're valuable.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. And this, and we actually did not have this on our outline here. So
we have none of this on our outline.
Yes, yeah. But I do think this is going to be important yeah. because we're going to, the verses we're going to talk about here are going to fall into some of these different categories. And there's a lot in the Old Testament because that's where God is laying down the hard line of what his law is. Mm-hmm. And I would say you start with the Ten Commandments. Exodus 21, 22 to 25. Is that Ten Commandments?
Ten Commandments is Exodus 20.
20. 13. Oh, that's right.
Yes, right on.
Yep, Exodus 20, 13.
If you would take a look at our cheat board.
Yes. I didn't see your note right next to it. I remembered it was in Exodus.
For my listeners, I kind of wrote it out of order. So we're going to put that one on me.
No.
You'll take fine. The fall?
I just messed up. I need to read better.
All right, but yes, Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, 13.
Yes, do not murder.
Do not murder. If you need to learn, if you need to like ease into verse memorization.
Yeah,
there you go.
Easy one, good easy, one to go there.
20, 13, do not murder.
Yeah. That's really, we could end the podcast there. Why, God says don't murder.
While we pro-life, yeah. Exodus 20, 13, yes.
And so that is why abortion is wrong.
Yes.
And why you cannot have it in any circumstance right. is because you're going to be murdering a child in yes. this place.
And if God is the one who creates, sustains, takes away, we have no right to getting in there and meddling with that. These aren't our lives to meddle with.
Right.
I mean, it's just not. It's not. And so... real quick, from a worldview, obviously we have a Christian worldview.
Yes.
Our ethical system, we can sum up as deontological, right? It just, we read the Bible, and what God said is right, and what God said is wrong. And so what we believe is right are the things that God says is right, and what we believe is wrong are the things that God says is wrong. And he says in Exodus 20, 13, if you are murdering, abortion being murder, taken alive, it is wrong. So for us, it's simple.
Yes.
It is wrong.
and I would say when we're, you keep baiting me. I want to talk about this so bad.
When you're
talking about worldviews and moral systems, I would say that the only options you're going to have are you can go with a biblical system.
Yep.
Or you can go with solipsistic nihilism.
Explain that just a little bit. I'm going to act like I know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Explain it for
my listeners. I know all of our listeners do. But just for my sake, since I like talking about this, I'll ask you guys to humor me. So, but this way you can throw that out and be the cool guy who wants to hang out with the parties, like me.
Like you.
So yeah, if you're ever going to a party and you see me over in the corner with mm-hmm. a drink by myself,
yeah.
you can know it's because I started talking about solipsistic nihilism.
And they're just like, hey Brad, why don't you go yeah. stand over there?
Yeah.
Okay, but go ahead. Give us a little bit.
Basically, that's a real fancy way of saying, well, there's no way to know anything. Nothing really matters. Sure. Just do whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. And even
that would
that,
be a disaster.
Yeah.
Goodness.
And even that, you're still you can't hold to it. You're always going to. We live in God's world, and there's no getting away from that.
Yeah.
And this is for any of our listeners that were in some of my apologetics classes. Mm-hmm. We talk about, you know, you start with the worldview. You talk about your presuppositions, things that you just assume to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one that you, I would say, you have to start with is. Biblical presuppositions, mm-hmm. and I think that you can show every other morality system to be false.
Yeah, yep.
But again, okay, we don't have to go down that path though, because I can and we will.
I feel like we're setting some groundwork, man.
Yeah.
Because We're not just building blocks with anything. I mean, it's scripture and it's what we hold our lives to. But yes,
that was necessary.
That was necessary.
Yes, our listeners are not. This is not what they're wanting to hear for abortion.
Here we go. So, all right, moving on.
The Bible verses.
You want to go a chapter over Exodus 21?
Yes. Do you have that one up?
I can look it up. All right, you're gonna hear some pages rustling. It's
okay.
Don't worry. It's just my Bible flipping. Yeah.
So we have Exodus 21, 22-25.
Okay.
And while we're doing that,
You keep going, man.
Yeah,
you
keep So I have Psalm 139, 13 through 16. Mm-hmm. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and what that is saying is, you were a person. God knew you before you were even conceived. Mm-hmm. He knew you, had a plan for you,
yep,
and had purposes for you.
Yes.
Those are all, God does not have those things for things that are not people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you only get those if you are being a person.
Absolutely.
You got our Exodus up?
I got Exodus. That's good stuff, man. Give me chills. Now, Exodus chapter 21, these are dealing with personal injury laws, so for Israel. So
yes.
Exodus 21, starting in verse 22, 84 NIV here. If men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise.
Right, and you have it right there. You are to take life for life.
Life for life. The only way that counts, though, is if the injured baby is alive. I mean, that's what it's saying here.
So yeah. So it's saying that, you know, if the baby comes out alive, yep, and it's fine, okay.
The guy still could meet some punishment.
Yes, yes. But there that the husband still has a grievance in this case.
Right.
And so it's not like, oh, he gets off scot-free.
Right.
And so anyone that would accuse us of not valuing the mother, mm-hmm, it's right there in scripture. Right. The mother is valued.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Good point.
There's a much deeper and higher penalty here, yep, when that baby is injured. Mm. And basically whatever happens to that baby happens to the guy.
Yes. Yeah. Now,
or the attacker, I guess.
Don't go out and start doing tooth-for-tooth stuff with everybody you have a conflict with stuff here. But what we're saying here...
Yes.
You know,
this is a good example of, this is a law that was specific for ancient Israel.
Right.
You look to this for ideas about the heart of God.
Right.
You as a person do not have the right to implement this law.
Absolutely. And again, it comes down to God dictates what happens with what he has created, what he has sustained. Again, what we're hitting here on is the value of life. There is a penalty for injury to this baby's life because it is, in fact, a valuable life that God has created.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Moving on. Are you in Jeremiah?
Yep. I have Jeremiah 1:5.
You want me to go to Psalm 22? Or while you're in Jeremiah, you want me to go to Psalm 22?
I got that one. Why don't you do Luke 1:41?
Oh, that's probably my favorite.
Yeah, end with that one, because that'll be a nice
Merry
one
Christmas
for the season, too.
Yes, all right.
All right, so for Jeremiah 1:5, we have, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
God does not make non-people prophets.
Uh-huh. Right, a cow is not a prophet.
Yeah, there are no parasite prophets.
Right. Yeah.
There are no clump of cell prophets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are only people. There are human beings that God has made prophets.
Right.
That is another example. So that's and you're going to see this throughout. And that's why we start with the do not murder,
mm-hmm,
because it's just assumed everywhere in the Bible that an unborn child is a child.
Is
it belongs to God.
Yes. And you may not know fertilization. You may not know the gender yet.
Yeah.
But you look at the DNA, it is a human DNA. It's not a cow DNA, not a whatever. It is a specific human life DNA that you would see from that.
Yeah, and I will say, so for me in particular, for my first child, I was in residency and we had access to an ultrasound, mm-hmm. And I knew how to do it. Yep. I knew how to use it. So we went and looked at my little girl. We looked at her every week, starting
girl.
At about 5 years old. Not 5 years
that's
old.
That's a long
yeah,
pregnancy,
sorry, five,
man.
Yeah, 5 weeks. yeah. At about 5 weeks. Which is pretty, I mean, about as soon as we knew.
Mm-hmm. You find out you're pregnant, basically. Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember. I think we looked at 6 weeks. We couldn't quite see the heartbeat yet. Mm-hmm. I believe it was around, I think it was 8 weeks was the first time we could see the heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's 2 months into the pregnancy.
Yeah.
You can see the heartbeat on an ultrasound. And at 10 weeks, if you want to see this, you know, I have it saved on my phone because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You can see plain as day a little baby sitting up in the womb there.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I think it's so cute. She's just sitting there and has her head cocked.
Mm-hmm. At 10 weeks, incredible.
Yeah, so, and we'll get into this a little bit later. You know, this it really isn't an argument you hear as much anymore that it's just a clump of cells,
mm-hmm.
because of ultrasound technology.
Right. Yeah.
Back in the 70s, before you could really do ultrasound well, it was easy to throw this stuff out.
Sure.
It's too easy to prove wrong now that mm-hmm. your abortion advocates are really not using it much.
Yeah, they just can't. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I did you read Exodus?
We're good.
You read your Exodus.
You just read Jeremiah 1:5. We all have a purpose. Now we're going to Psalm 22.
Yep. So we got Psalm 22, 9 through 10. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God.
From where?
From my mother's womb.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, same thing here. It's just assumed. God has complete control over people, everything about them in this instance. He knows the plans. He knows they're going to be a prophet. He knows everything because he is putting them together. He is knitting them together inside their mother's womb. And every instance of this language you can see all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to validate that.
Yes.
And I don't think there's a better one than Luke 1:41.
Yeah.
And it's very, very, very season appropriate too.
Very season appropriate. We're coming on to the Christmas. We got 12 days till Christmas. And we're in the Christmas story here. Luke is kind of the good Christmas gospel.
Yeah.
You've got just a good couple chapters dedicated to it, birth of Christ. But in Luke chapter 1, there's two amazing conceptions that have happened. So you have Zechariah and Elizabeth, who mm-hmm. he was a high priest, and they prayed for a child for so long, never had it, and then an angel shows up in his old years and says, you're going to have a son. John the Baptist was his name, and his job, guys, was he was going to be the one that prepared the way for the second and even greater...
The coming Messiah.
Oh my goodness, the coming of the Messiah, where Jesus Christ came down. We call that the incarnation. It's our Christmas message that came down to the earth as a baby to literally save us from our sins.
Yes. First question for you, Tyler.
Yes, let me hear it.
When the Bible talks about, and he will have the government on his shoulders,
yes.
do you ever picture Jesus giving a mini version of the president a piggyback ride?
Because
I do.
I do now.
And you're always
Thanks, man.
You're Thanks. Welcome, listeners, because you're all going to do that now.
I didn't have that one planned, man.
The government is on his shoulders, and he's gonna have a little version of the president riding around.
Oh, man. In all honesty, man, he's got the whole universe on his shoulders, right, man?
Yep.
But I don't know if I can shake that one. Thanks, man. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But what we have here is several things that we want to point out. But in Luke 1, verse 41, so Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And Mary, who has been conceived of the Holy Spirit with Jesus, goes and tells us sort of the news. And let me start in verse 39. I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
So Luke 1:39. At that time, so Mary has heard from the angel. Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now listen, this is where I want you to perk up, listeners. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in the womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. One verse, so much to come out of this.
Yeah.
One, John the Baptist is crazy excited to hear about Jesus. But
as would anybody be.
Anybody. But so when heard in the womb, it said the baby leaped. The Greek word is brephos, and that literally means unborn fetus. So if you're going to go to the original language, what it is saying here is when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the unborn fetus leaped in the womb. That, if that doesn't prove the humanness of a baby, the liveness of a baby, you're just going to have to flat out deny it, and you're not going to have any good excuse. I mean, there's nothing against it. No excuse against that. That's a human. That's a life.
Yeah.
And a human characteristic exemplified there, human action.
Yeah. You have the, it talks about the Holy Spirit being in John the Baptist at this point. That's not something that is granted to anything other than human beings.
Human beings. Absolutely.
You couldn't even make the argument he's an angel.
Right.
Which would, that would be a weird argument. I've never heard anybody make that.
I haven't, but you never know.
Yeah. And I, moving on from this too, and I haven't run this by you, but I think this would be a good topic for next week if we do the hypostatic union.
That, yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because it's a perfect one for Christmas time. Mm-hmm. But what the hypostatic union is in brief, that's the brief way of saying that Jesus is fully God and mm-hmm. fully man.
Yep.
So when you have Gabriel talking to Mary and saying what is going to happen to her, the glory of the Most High is going to overshadow her. Mm-hmm. That's not waiting to happen until the baby is born.
Right, right.
That is happening at the conception. And so you have the glory of God there at conception.
Yeah.
And at that point, Jesus is fully God and fully human.
Mm-hmm.
And he is fully human even in the embryo state there.
Yes.
And so if you are going to try to say that an embryo, a fetus, any of the different words you want to use for the different stages of mm-hmm. development or of a human being,
mm-hmm.
it is not human at any point, you're going to have big problems. And this is an in-house criticism. If you are somebody that's proclaiming to be a Christian, mm-hmm. And you're saying, yes, but I think it's okay to that you're not necessarily a person up until viability mm-hmm. or until mm-hmm. they have a heartbeat or things like that,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have severe problems with how you talk about the incarnation, what was happening when Jesus came to earth as a human and how that happened.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're 100% right. And to not lose that fact that the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, came down as a human. as a human vessel. That's just the epitome of the value of life. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. We'll do hypostatic union next time. That'll be a good one.
So, a very good Christmas one, I feel like.
Real good Christmas one. Yep. But we love coming to that verse in Luke 1 because you see that it's alive. The issue is never if it is a human. The only issue is the maturity, how far along they are, whether they're 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, whatever. It's never in question that it is a human or that it's alive. It's just how far along in the mature process. But you and I are still maturing. I mean, outside of the womb, it just continues.
Right.
We didn't stop maturing, right? I mean.
Yeah, and I really like, what we say here isn't going to get you completely prepared for every single thing that'll come at you.
Right, right,
I would say I really like watching Jeff Durbin.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
Yeah, he's a street preacher.
He's good.
And he does a lot of talking with people about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, one thing he'll say is people say, well, it's not a child, it's a fetus. Mm-hmm. He says, well, that's Latin for child. Small child. You're just...
you just said it in a different language.
Yeah, yeah, that's basically saying, well, it's not child, it's niño.
It's niño.
Yeah, which is Spanish for child.
Right.
If you want more practice on how to talk to people, mm-hmm. And I think he does a really good job of doing it very lovingly.
He's good, yes.
He has just a billion YouTube videos up, mm-hmm. so go check some of those out.
He's really cool. Yeah, he's down to earth. He's just you really like him.
Yeah.
That's kind of some of our biblical scriptures.
Yeah, and there's certainly more we could do. We mm-hmm. tried to hit kind of the big ones, I think.
Right.
if you are listening to this and you feel like there are some biblical things that you still struggle with, you don't feel like that's enough, let us know and we can certainly go more in depth.
Sure,
into
that. Absolutely.
And so we kind of wanted to, for the third part here, we wanted to talk about, okay, we're assuming at this point that you wonderful listeners are really convinced of this and probably didn't need to be convinced of this.
Right, before. Right, yeah.
We've given you some verses to where if somebody asks, why do you believe this? Well, you can go here. Some philosophical constructs of, you know, hey, here's the philosophy of why I would believe this this way too.
And I would also add that, again, we represent First Southern Baptist Church in Salina, so we're representing you, our church's view on life and and the Bible and all. So if you want to, on one of our issues, a clear stance of where we are, right now we are representing our church's view, which is important.
Yes.
So, all right.
So,
moving on.
Hopefully, at this point, you are convinced of the importantness of this issue as well.
Yep.
I would point to, so this is one of the things, correct me if I'm wrong,
okay.
I think this is in Deuteronomy, this is one of the things that is considered an abomination by God. This is one of the reasons the Canaanites were kicked out of their land, was because they were sacrificing children.
Yes, yes. Huge abomination, yes.
Yes. The reason they were sacrificing the children in general was, I should look this verse up before, but
that's right.
I believe it is, so it will go well with you, to make their life better, to give them better crops. Mm-hmm. They were killing their children because they thought that it was going to bring them more prosperity and make their life better. You'll get a lot of people that will talk about that is essentially the same thing that is going on at this point.
Yeah.
That people are looking at their life and saying, well, my life will be much better if this child is gone. And so how do I get rid of it?
Right.
So this is a serious, serious issue. I believe the word the Bible uses is toivah, which it means abomination, something that is just the worst of the worst to God.
That's about as strong as a word as you can use to convey the repulsiveness of this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could think of a stronger
God
word.
God talks about because they there's a list of things that are toivah to God. And because the Canaanites had done these things, so when God was giving the land of Canaan to the Israelites, he wasn't just giving them a land. He was simultaneously bringing judgment upon the Canaanites for the wicked things they were doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is listed among the worst of the worst, is sacrificing their children, and is later a charge that is brought against Israel when they were at different times throughout their history.
And I think it's important to note, too, that you hit on this of God's justice. You can't use God annihilating the Canaanites. You can't use that to then argue that God doesn't value life. You can't go on that other spectrum.
Exactly.
With that. That's not the case. So that's a big argument that a lot of people use.
Right. And they would be wrong. And I would go back to, you know, our stance is not that nobody can kill anybody anytime. It is that God is the sole arbiter of life.
Well, yes, absolutely.
He decides when it starts, how long it lasts, who has the right and the ability to take it away, and what the penalties and judgments are for doing so in a way that it is against his prescribed commandments.
I would say then abortion, among many issues, it's also idolatry. I mean, you're putting yourself in God's place or making decisions that are only reserved for God. Serious offense. But again, there's compassion, there's mercy and forgiveness. We want to keep stressing that over and over again, that if you've had an abortion or you've been wrestling with that, that hear us, that we're not saying that you're we love you, we have compassion, we hurt for you, and there's a way out.
Yeah. I know for a fact we have many adoptive parents in our church. I know for a fact we have many, I would say probably the vast majority of our church would feel strongly about this issue, and about the safety and well-being of children in particular, and as well as women in vulnerable situations. If you are somebody that would be in that situation, our church will help with that.
Absolutely.
You know, how we do that, it would depend on the certain circumstance.
Any way that we can.
Yeah.
If we don't have resources, we can find
We can find people that would be willing to adopt or, resources, connections, whatever it would be. If you're just not sure, if you just need somebody to talk to, I know without a doubt our church will step in for that because we look at that as a deep core part of the commandment of what we are commanded by God to do, to bring the message of Jesus Christ to this world and to fill it with His glory.
Absolutely, yeah. So if you're ever, if you're in Salina or you're listening and you're out of Salina and you come to Salina, go to the corner of, what's it, Ohio and Magnolia?
Yep.
Big, big white steeple there. You'll see the sign says First Southern Baptist Church. You come on in and we'll do whatever we can to help you. So.
Yes. So with that, again, the disclaimer, and we don't want that to get lost because we're going to use some more blunt language here.
Right.
Because some of the people, there are many women that have a hard time about this. Mm-hmm. There are many women that do not, and it's not hard to find these on the internet. Many women talk very gleefully about, oh, this is I know it's a child. I'll kill this one, and I'm going to kill the next five, too.
Yep.
I would still plead with a woman like that to repent. As you still need to recognize the reality that there are those types of hearts. Mm. And it's not relegated to women either.
Right,
men that have that exact same type of heart.
Right. Yep. And men would struggle that they had that. We don't have the abortion option. Men would struggle with that too. So
yeah, you could absolutely have a man who is pressuring a woman to get an abortion because it would make his life much easier.
Yep.
For a woman that is really going to bear the brunt of the cost in that instance, I would say.
And I know again, pregnancy is hard. I mean, just think about the bodily changes that have to happen and the evidence of having a baby and all. So we know this is so hard, and our hearts go out to you. So
again, we always want to keep that forefront.
We love you all. We don't know you, but we love you.
Yeah, coming from love.
Yeah.
This is something our church will absolutely put our money where our mouth is.
Sure,
we will take care of people who need it.
And you're going, can I say one more thing? We'll get
As
Christians, the most unloving thing that we could do, one of the most unloving things, is to not to tell you the truth, is to affirm lifestyles that are not correct with God. The most loving thing we can do is point you to the source of truth and love, and that's what we're doing here.
Yes.
So this is our sign of love to you, is we want you to know the truth.
Yes, everybody is going to stand before their Creator, and they are going to have to give account of their actions. And we want you to be able to have as little that you regret as possible. We want as little evil in this world as possible. And if you're somebody that doesn't know Jesus, we want you to bring you into the flock and into his grace and forgiveness as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Yep. Again, come check us out if you need to. Arguments. So
yes.
we're gonna get into some of these arguments. I don't want to jump ahead, but I think that the world clearly sees, you can't really use the argument that it's not alive anymore, right? So we've established that.
You can. I mean, people will still try it, but it's...
The validity is gone. I mean, it's just, even, like you said, your ultrasound sound. I mean, it's...
It's too easy to refute.
It's too easy to refute. But let's go through some of these here.
Yeah, so I have... This is an area I have done a lot of discourse on. I have done a large amount of talking with people that are pro-abortion. They're still loath to admit it. You will still generally hear them using language that would indicate the baby's not alive. But they know they can't support that if you push on it.
Sure.
And so I would continue to push on that. A good example is it was an article I read about it was a college student who was doing a project, and he emailed biology professors basically around the nation at the colleges and asked them for a definition of life. When does life begin? Mm-hmm. And basically across the board, they all said, well, you know, it begins at conception in this point. Mm-hmm. Got some very big blowback once they realized that this was in relation to abortion. This was he was talking about. Mm-hmm. Said, oh, you tricked us. This is not what we meant. We would not have answered it this way if we would have known you were talking about abortion.
Right.
But
that's interesting.
Your definition of life, there's really no good way to exclude a fetus that's not going to cause you problems other time.
Right.
So it might be, oh well, you know, the fetus doesn't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not conscious. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have, you know, it doesn't. It's not interacting with its environment. It's not conscious. Doesn't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Well, human beings sleep. And so if you're going to use that example, well, why can't I kill somebody when they're asleep? You're saying, right. Well, they're not breathing. Well, there might be times when we would stop breathing at certain times. It doesn't mean you're dead at that point.
Hold my breath underwater, I'm not breathing.
Yeah.
So during that period is pregame, that'd be dangerous.
Yeah. Heartbeat. Say, oh, well, if they don't have a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we do heart transplants.
Right.
You take at one point in there, they have taken a heart out of a body, and then they have a body without a heart for a little bit. Yeah. Now, you can't last long without your heart,
right?
But you're lasting. Yeah. The fact that you can take out a heart and put in another one, and you can continue to go and do things after that, mm-hmm. A good indication, a heartbeat by itself is not a good example of this is when life starts.
No, and you, as a doctor, you know, isn't that what CPR is all about, is pumping a heart that's not beating?
Not exactly. Kind of yes and no. So okay. Normally if you're, I won't bore you with the details on that one, so there's gonna be a difference.
You know better than me, but I was just throwing
that out. Normally you're more keeping a heart pumping that isn't pumping enough.
Anyway, yeah. So, all right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Doc.
An interesting topic, but probably not real germane.
Rabbit trail.
Yeah. So I've gone on enough rabbit trails. Don't we'll go on that one.
Okay. But yes.
So it is alive. And the other thing, I mean, I don't think you'll be at a lack for seeing this happen. Mm-hmm. You will have your people that are pro-abortion in the same breath, in the same sentence, say, it's not alive. And it's a parasite. Mm-hmm. Parasites are, by definition, alive. Mm-hmm. Those two statements are contradictory.
Yeah,
and everything that's going to be said through this is going to be contradictory. Mm-hmm. I think that as difficult as the subject is to talk about because of the emotional punch to it, it's one of the easier things logically to show that things outside the Christian worldview are ridiculous on this. Mm-hmm. It's a clump of cells, is another thing you might hear. Well, we're all clumps of cells.
Right.
A clump of cells is just a derogatory description of life.
So if I'm really mad at you, just call you a clump of cells?
Clump of cells, yes. I mean, I am. Literally everything is a clump of cells. And so those are not arguments. Now to get into some of your more philosophically sophisticated ones. So this is one that I heard when I was in my ethics class in undergraduates. I think it was regular ethics. I don't think it was medical ethics, but it might have been. Mm-hmm. And so the example they will give is, let's say that you wake up and you find that you are connected by tubes to a famous violinist. Mm-hmm. That while you were sleeping, you woke up, and this famous violinist didn't have any kidneys, and he didn't have they didn't have any way to save him other than hooking him up to you. Mm-hmm. But they might be able to find him some new kidneys in 9 months. Do you have the right to unhook yourself from this violinist? Mm-hmm. And so on the surface, you know, the first time you hear this, you go, oh, wow, that's, you know, I feel like, yeah, I should be, have the ability to, you know, unhook myself from this violinist. But, you know, and then they'll say, oh, well, you know, this is the circumstance of the mother. And I think that is one I would be surprised If you're talking with somebody that has had like some philosophical training, that's normally the first one they're going to talk about.
Sure. They're trying to strike an emotional chord there too, obviously. I mean, playing with the, I mean, are they, so just for clarification, are they presenting the violinist as helpless?
Yeah. So the violinist is unconscious.
Representing the mother, right?
No. The you are the mother in this instance.
Yeah, okay, yes, okay.
Yes, and this violinist is dependent upon you for life.
Yes, okay.
But you do not have the responsibility to keep maintaining.
That makes sense. Thank you.
This violinist life is what they are saying.
Okay.
And I think there are two very big problems with using this metaphor. Mm-hmm. So one, when you are having a, when you become pregnant, you're not sleeping in your bed and you wake up and, oh my goodness, I'm pregnant.
Good point.
I would say that this is more, it would be more akin to saying, hey, you went to stay at a hotel that has really great rates and super fun water slides and a lot of, you know, really great buffet and just a really great hotel. But if you go, there's a chance that, you know, one of the ways that we were able to afford all of this is that we were supported by this famous violinist club. And if there's ever a famous violinist that needs a kidney, we might have to hook you up while you're sleeping. So if you're coming here, you know that might be a reason, a thing that might happen. The second is you are not this violinist's mother. Everybody recognizes that mothers have a higher amount of responsibility to their children than everyone else does. Mm-hmm. Same with fathers. Your parents have more responsibility for a child.
Yes.
If there is a random child out on the street, I might be a bad person if I don't feed them if they're hungry. But I'm not going to go to jail for that.
Right.
If you are a mother or father of a child that is hungry and out on the street, you are going to go to jail for child neglect because
you're accountable
this
for
is universally recognized that parents have a responsibility for their children.
Right.
So that is a place you can start if they bring this example against you. And you might have some back and forth, but that's the place that you start is no, this is not an accurate example of the relationship between a mother and a baby. Mm-hmm. Another one I've heard, and this one's a little bit more recently, the idea is if you're in a fertility clinic and there is 1 5-year-old and there is 100 cans of fertilized embryos in this fertility clinic, and you only you can save all 100 of these embryos or you can save this 5-year-old child. Which one are you going to save? Mm-hmm. And I mean, usually, you know, you just that, pretty much everyone's going to pick the 5-year-old child and they'll go, aha, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. See?
Didn't think it
would these might have some value, this has more value. And you understand in your mind that these are not at the same level as a real human child.
Sure.
So the problem with that is, you can switch these out. So let's say instead of we have a 5-year-old child and my wife. In that case, I still have to pick somebody. If I have a chance to get somebody out.
You're switching an answer there.
Right. And the fact that I'm making a choice and saving one doesn't mean that I value the other less. There's a lot of factors that might go into that decision.
Right.
If
I can see the fallacy in that argument. Yes.
Yeah, if and I could think of circumstances where you might choose the fertilized embryo. Mm-hmm. If this is your last chance to have a child, this may be something that you take into account when you are saving somebody. So in any response to that scenario, you're going to be this forces you into a place where you're going to have to balance and make decisions. It does not automatically assume that the one that you don't choose is less or not human or not deserving of the right.
Good point. Yeah. You illuminated the fallacy in that one pretty well.
Yes. And so one last one that I would do is this is one that they'll sometimes come at you from a biblical perspective, is Numbers 5.
Okay.
And I'm not going to read it because it's kind of long. So okay. Basically what it is, if you go and read Numbers 5, it's a paraphrase of, this is a way in ancient Israel for husbands who were suspicious that their wife had cheated on them. Mm-hmm. What they could do is they could take their wife to the priest. The priest would write on a piece of paper. He would wash the ink off of this paper and then have the woman drink this. Mm-hmm. If the woman was guilty of adultery, then what it says is that, and the language gets a little bit interesting here, mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's translated thigh, that her thigh will fall off. But it's kind of generally understood that, oh, she's going to miscarry. Mm-hmm. The language would be an interesting thing to get into at some point, but mm-hmm. we'll assume for the sake of argument, you know, it's talking about that this would cause her to have a miscarriage.
Okay.
If she has not been unfaithful, then she will be fine. And they will say, look, this is an example of abortion in the Bible. Mm-hmm. If God's not for abortion, then, you know, why is this in there? Mm-hmm. And the answer, again, it goes right back to God is the sole arbiter of life.
Right.
It is not the woman, it is not the man who is deciding whether or not this baby lives. Mm-hmm. It is God, mm-hmm. just like it always is.
Right.
God is always the one that's deciding not just babies, but everybody. You right. and I, every second I have on this earth is only because God has decided to grant that to me again.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And this was a method. This was a method of protection for the woman so that a paranoid man couldn't just put her out.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
He could. This was a mechanism to protect her and protect her livelihood within mm-hmm. this system. And there's a lot more you can say about all of these.
Sure.
But those are ones that I have heard mm-hmm. most often.
Yes.
And so hopefully that's some places you can start.
To start.
And you know, I'd be more than happy to talk with anybody if they've been talking with somebody and say, ah, man, they got me with this, and mm-hmm. I'm really kind of stumped. Like, I know it's not wrong, but I don't know how to
sure.
answer it. There's a lot of different ways.
Yep, and we also recognize, again, the emotionality of this. So sometimes it's hard to think straight. Sometimes
yeah.
it's hard. There's many times when I'm emotional at all, that following night, maybe lay in my bed and just think, oh, I should have said this or that. It's just, we understand it's kind of hard sometimes with emotions running.
Yeah.
To do...
Yeah,
to say exactly everything right. So
yeah, and the fact that you are not defending this perfectly, don't let that discourage you from mm-hmm. continuing to defend it.
Oh, absolutely, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, every little bit that you can decrease evil and in this world, increase good, and every bit that you are proclaiming the gospel mm-hmm. is net good. Mm-hmm. It is a good thing, and even. Even if you aren't doing it perfectly. And you know what? You're not going to do it perfectly. Mm-hmm. Nobody is. It is a good thing that you're doing, and don't get discouraged.
Right.
What's the verse? Do not grow weary of doing good.
Absolutely. And yeah. you are honoring God, and He is pleased with you in that. Even in your bumbling and stumbling, He is pleased in that. So
yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So sometimes... When we've talked a little bit about worldviews and ethical systems, sometimes we have to argue with people that maybe both our worldview and our ethical system differ. So, for example, I'll share with you the story. I have my wife, who is pro-life, anti-abortion, mm-hmm. And we have a dear friend who is not a Christian, and they were having a discussion on abortion. The problem being, they're coming from a different worldview. So my wife was coming from the Christian worldview. My friend, the non-Christian worldview, different ethical systems. My wife was coming from a deontological one, basing her ethics on the Word of God. He was coming from a consequential ethical system where the morality of an action is determined by the consequence of that action. So, for example, if his... he has beautiful, beautiful kids, but if one of his kids would be raped at the age of 12 and be pregnant and the body was not physically, there'd be a chance that body could not physically go through pregnancy, that he would elect for an abortion to save his daughter. So the consequence of that was the daughter's being saved, and therefore it was morally acceptable. Can you explain a little bit about how you would tackle something like that?
Sure. So the first thing is, and you got to talk about this, because this is always where your pro-abortion people are going to go first of all. You got to talk about rape and incest and mm-hmm. life of the mother.
Yep.
To start off with, if somebody brings something like that up right away,
which likely will.
Yes, because it's much the emotional yes. punch with that yes. is they like that.
Right, and they want to pull on your emotions. They want to see yeah. where you're at. At that.
So yes. I would start by saying, well, that's less than 1% of the abortions that are mm-hmm. performed. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact amounts, but I think in and it depends on what type of abortion you're talking about too. In the when it comes to rape, I believe it's something like 0.05 or 0.005 or something mm-hmm. like that, percentages of the actual abortions that are done.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you look at the actual percentages, the numbers, when the people are giving a reason, the vast majority is either no reason or economic or social hardship.
Okay.
It was going to be more difficult for
them. So convenience.
Yeah, and so the first place I would say is, well, so are you granting that this is a bad thing that we should have outlawed in every other instance? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because that's the vast majority of them first. We yep. need to talk about that first. Yep. But if you're willing to agree with me on everything else, then sure, we can talk about this point.
Mm-hmm. That going back to
yeah.
the exceptions don't make the rule.
Yeah. Okay. And that's, so when you're talking about, I think that the life of the mother falls into a different category with this one.
Uh-huh.
If there is an example, so if you're the father and you're in the hospital, this is going to be an example of your fertility clinic again here, and the doctor comes out and says, I can only save one of them. I can do this, and
I can save your wife or the child.
They've both lost too much blood. Mm-hmm. They need blood. They're the same blood type. I've only got one bag. You know, that's a little bit contrived here, but
right, right.
Something like that. I would not fault the father in either case for mm-hmm. that one. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get too much into that one, but I would say that this, the life of a mother, pretty much everybody is in agreement. I really don't know a lot of pro-life people that would say, the life of the mother is worth less
sure,
than the life
right,
of the fetus.
Right.
I have never heard anybody sure. say that. I've heard a lot of pro-abortion people saying that's what people believe.
Right.
In cases of rape and incest, the question I will normally ask is, what if the woman in this case decides, you know what, I want to do an abortion, I'm going to go ahead and have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
The baby is born. As soon as it's born, she goes, oh, I thought I could handle this, but I couldn't. Just let's, just kill it now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it. I made a mistake by having it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay for her to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And the question, okay, if it's not okay, then why would it be okay before?
Sure.
And really what this is going to come down to is what are the presuppositions? What's your basis? So with your friend, I think you always come back to asking, well, what standard are you using for good and evil in this mm-hmm. case? What's your, you said that the decision he's going to make is, what will result in the most good? Well, what do you mean
yes.
by good?
Right.
Because almost always, what they mean is, well, whatever I want.
Sure, right, which isn't really
yeah.
what's most good.
Yeah, when it comes down to it, it's going to be, I will do what I want in this world, or I will do what God wants. I'm going to set up my own morality system,
mm-hmm.
and I will reject God's, or I recognize that God is creator of this universe,
mm-hmm.
And I will submit to his morality system.
Right.
And so that's... Briefly, and so that would be good. Another good one to do is presupposition. That's a good one to go with. But
we've got topics for a long time. So yeah, keep listening, guys.
Yeah. So that is the way I would go with that. Is first by separating out life of the mother, saying that this is different. Mm-hmm. Asking what the difference would be between killing this child after they were born for rape and incest or before. And those are horrible situations. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be some nuance. And you know, you can talk about, there might be case by case that have different factors that would influence things. But for someone like that, I would go down to, well, what is your standard? What's your baseline you're using for what is good and what is evil? How do you even define those things?
Yep, that's great. And disclaimer, I love my friend. He's a great guy. Yes. You know, I love him to death. When we have scenarios where there is a possible death, abortion guarantees a death. So you've gone from the possibility of a death to a guaranteed death through abortion.
Yeah. Another. So if you've ever taken any philosophy class, they have something called the trolley problem. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a trolley coming down the track, and there's a straight track, and then there's like a little veer off. If you do nothing, this trolley is going to continue on this straight track, and it's going to kill five people. Mm-hmm. But if you pull this lever, it's going to go off on the sidetrack, but it's going to kill one person. Mm-hmm. What would you do? And most people have kind of a hard time with this, because it's like, ugh. Like, I feel like I am actively killing this one person.
Right.
Where if I don't do anything, more people are going to die, but I didn't have a hand in that.
Right.
So abortion,
you're pulling the lever on the one person.
It is if you don't do anything, there is one person, a person survives and a person is born. Mm-hmm. And if you pull the lever, then somebody dies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good example. Nobody dies and you pull the lever and somebody dies.
Right, absolutely.
And one, so we've talked a lot about, you should push on them for being consistent, because they're guaranteed to be inconsistent when they're talking about this. They have to be. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to be consistent on your points too, and you should be ready for some of these. Mm-hmm. So this is an example that I think a lot of our listeners might have a hard time answering. Mm-hmm. I saw an atheist put out a tweet that says, well, like, Christians should be happy for abortion because all these babies that were going to be raised by atheists go to heaven now, whereas if they didn't, they would probably all end up in hell.
Right.
And if you are going to hold to the stance of an age of accountability, that every child that that goes to, that would die before a certain age, would go to hell, but after that, would go to heaven, but after that, there's a chance that they might go to hell. Mm-hmm. You are going to have to explain why abortion isn't the most successful evangelism strategy we could ever have, because if you're in that case, it would make a lot of sense for us to encourage atheists to have abortions, because you would say 100% chance that child goes to heaven, and it's a less than 100% chance if we allow them to grow up. Mm-hmm. I do not hold that stance, and I think that is wrong. Yeah. And I don't think people that do hold that stance in malice, but I think that is an unforeseen circumstance, and it is one that some atheists will recognize and will push you on.
Sure.
And you'll have to have an answer for that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I don't, and again, that's, here's another topic we could talk more about, and we're going way long on this. So.
It's okay.
That, be ready for that one, because we are pressing them to be consistent, but you will need to be consistent too, and hopefully that's what our podcast is helping people do, is to be more consistent in their theology and know God better.
And if you're worried about being consistent, you have what you need to be consistent, the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's, as Christians, we stand on really solid ground. The basis for our truth, our morality, our stances comes from the Bible. So even if other people outside don't recognize the authority or inerrancy of Scripture, you already have a one-up in this argument by having a solid stance that you're on. You have the Word of God.
Not just a solid stance. I would say you have the only solid stance.
Yeah. THE capitalized. This is it.
All other ground is sinking sand.
Sinking sand, absolutely. So rest confident in that. So, and not only listen to this podcast to get help, read that Bible, press into God, you know, ask him to give you the word to say and the scriptures to know to do these kind of things. You're not alone in this.
So, oh, and we've gone really long on this, but this is a lot of really, you know, it's deep, it's heavy, it's emotional stuff.
Yep.
I think we should end on hearing the most embarrassing thing you did when you met me.
This is a good one. We actually promised this.
Yes, we did. That's okay. We want to keep our promises.
We got it. I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to sign off because we're at the 75-minute mark.
Yes.
So if you got to listen to this in sections, that's fine. Hopefully, we're captivating enough that you listen all the way through. But we understand if you got to take some breaks. But again, we love you, and we want to have compassion. We feel strongly about this. If you have any questions or anything, let us know. But was this our first lunch meeting?
It was. I think it was our first, yes.
And Pastor Greg was with us too, right?
Yep.
So we went to Chili's.
Yeah.
And we ordered some appetizers, right? 3 for $10 kind of deal?
Yeah. So, and I think I ordered chips.
You ordered chips?
Yeah.
So they bring out a big thing of chips that Brad has ordered, and we didn't really know each other at the time, so that this would have been
kind of weird. No, I think this is really the first time
so we didn't
I'm
know each
really
other,
meeting you.
Brad gets some chips, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I just started eating from
the chips. He was thinking, boy, those chips look good, and just started sticking his hand right in there and munching on chips, and being great kind of look at him, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're sharing chips. And I think
this
it was
guy.
I think it was about halfway through you realized it, and you were mortified. And, I mean, really, it wasn't that big a deal, but oh, man, was it funny.
my initial understanding was this was a communal chip resource. It was not. Those were Brad's chips. I'm just eating them. I mean, get a load of this guy. But we laugh at that now.
Yes. And you know what, Tyler? I will always share my chips with you if you want.
And this guy doesn't even like salsa, so.
I don't. I eat my chips plain.
He just eats his. You hearing that, listeners? He eats his chips plain.
Well, I got to eat them fast or else other people will try to eat them, apparently. So I don't have time to be dipping them in salsa.
You got
to
save the time and just eat them. Yeah. No salt and no salsa. Just getting it right in.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, thanks for bearing with us, guys.
Yep.
You know, this was a long one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I think this will be something that'll be very helpful for you.
Yep.
If there are, you know, we keep pushing this. We're hoping for some interaction as
Every time we're going to encourage that. Absolutely.
If there are things that can be helpful for you that you want us to talk about, if there's things we talked about today you want us to go more in depth, let us know.
Yep. We'd be happy to answer any questions, just dialogue, or maybe there's something that we misquoted or anything like that. Let us know. We'll get in on that. So it's good being with you guys. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. You have to wait on the top.
We already told them, I think. So.
Hypostatic union.
Fully God and fully man.
How is that even possible?
A perfect one for Christmas.
It's a very good one for Christmas. So come join us in 2 weeks. We love you guys. If you need anything, let us know. We're always praying for you. And as always, your host, Tyler and Dr. Irvin.
/ Bodie McBoatface / Captain Theology.
/ all those things.
/ to be named, I guess.
By their consensus.
If we come up with a good one, I feel like nobody put any suggestions out yet. So
get those suggestions coming.
Yeah.
Love you guys. We're signing out. Blessings. On behalf of First Southern Baptist Church Salina, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, or you want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to have you contact us. You can email me at tball@fsbcsalina.com. And if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and our worship service is at 10:30 a.m. If you want to know more about the church, you can visit us at our website at www.fsbcsalina.com. Again, thanks for joining us today, where we desire to know Christ and to make him known. Blessings.